This is tape two. Speaking of the divine plan, a continuation. This is May 30th, 1992. We have been speaking of the great libraries at Alexandria as we reached the end of side B of the prior tape. It's time to take up some consideration and how you're going to make this passage. We're going to talk about cooperation and survival. It's not like you think. It's not a case of survival of the fittest, as you've been led to believe. It can't be. It simply is not a case of survival of the fittest. As your belief systems based on short time observations proclaim it to be. It's a case totally, completely, a flourishment of the most cooperative based on truth, wisdom, and reaching for balance, harmony, and oneness with the source of all. As we've spoken of the lighted particles of molecular structure according to a DNA blueprint, so too, dear ones, does the divine plan have DNA blueprint. Just as distinct little beings work together to produce each completed human cell, there are spirit beings designed to work in symbiotic cooperation with human ego. Ah, human ego, the bugaboo of all human life expression. There are many names for us. We who come from the sky, in your perception, we've been called angels, bird tribes, bird people, higher selves, Hosidas, spirits of the stars, and on and on. The reality of what we are is more than any name can convey, so the name itself becomes unimportant. But the connection becomes so very, very important. With the multiple projections, if you will, of the Eternal One. Spirits designed to blend with present-day humans. What you consider yourself to be at this moment, or, frankly, your ego. But egos are only a portion, and perhaps I could point out that it's one of the most destructive portions to growth. At least in the human equation. It is the human equation. The complete human is a spirit-ego partnership. And one has gotten completely and totally out of balance and devoured the other to great extent, at least in truth. Your individualized aspects of one holy and eternal being. You are your spirits as they exist apart from the spell of matter. You don't evolve, precious ones. You incarnate. Your intelligence is all pre-existent. Your identities are highly focused frequencies of what you could consider starlight. You need us. We are the guides to behold. And frankly, we need you to fully enter and do our work in the physical plane as we too move to fulfill our purpose. We're all seeking to awaken in your minds and hearts to incarnate, if you will, in your bodies, that you might realize the purpose and intent of your journey. I didn't say take your bodies. But project through them so that you can integrate with higher purpose. We're sent to return your human circuitry onto its creator, and then again into knowing. Not knowledge, knowing. But what happens? Your human egos are the guardians of the circuitry. They get to be stewards of your minds and your hearts. And it becomes that without your ego cooperation, our bonding and sharing is totally impossible. You ego-ruled humans who feud and fight among yourselves don't realize the obvious. The very values that you employ to determine your social behavior would, if employed by your body parts, effectively block any cooperative association of even your ribosomes, enzymes, mitochondria, and other little life forms of crystalline life force from even providing you with insects, with one single coherent cell. And this is to say nothing, precious ones, of a healthy and integral human body, whole. The hundreds of thousands of little beings. And they're all working voluntarily together. And these make a human body what it is. It's not a case of survival of the fittest. And you're going to have to come to see this proof. It's not based on short-term observation of the universe, as it seems to verify. It's a case of flourishment of the most cooperative, as all long-term observation of the universe does verify, and not just seemingly so. It is through cooperation with one another that diverse forms of life can adapt and thrive. And it's only through the symbiotic cooperation of a whole multitude of similar organisms that more complex organisms like your body are able to come into existence at all. So at critical stages in their development, life forms cooperate for their own advantage with other separate and distinct life forms. So over time, their cooperation results in union. A new organism comes into being, if you will. Again and again and again this occurs in this formation of complex life forms. This is analogous to what is about to happen again as your late 20th century human world reaches the optimal moment for materially oriented, ego-ruled human beings to be joined by their spirit world counterparts, which is us, the host, those extraterrestrials, those beings of higher dimensions and experience. No way to avoid it. And your race is soon to experience widespread awakening. And some will see it as a massive descent of beings, so called from the stars. What do we represent? What do we really represent? We represent the dreams of the Great Spirit, the true dreams, the truth, the clear dreams, the pure dreams, those never tainted, dear ones, by fear, never touched by any motivation other than the motivation of love. And yet we are the dreams, nonetheless, with the thoughts, if you will. We're the discarnate beings drifting formlessly through a universe that has placed the highest value on form, living in the consciousness of a creator whose desire is to be taken into form in the very creature that will result from our bonding with you in an effort to help you remember what and who you are. We're sent, come, in other words, forth to remind you and again bring knowledge according to the promise. To bring truth and wisdom again within your beings, that you can find your way back within that infinite circle of reality. Our spiritual intelligence is the missing dimension, the rejected aspect of your very own wholeness. For thousands of years, you have been afraid of us. Many of you are now learning that you have nothing to lose and possibly something, maybe everything to gain by again establishing contact with us. So what makes you fear? What holds you back? Your ego. You are stopped by your own individual and mass collection of ego. You won't listen. And if you will not listen, you cannot hear. And if you are closed, you cannot respond, for you have not really heard. What's your ego for? Your ego is to look after your physical body, is to make sure it gets enough to eat. It's to make sure it does not walk over the edge of a cliff. In other words, not to damage itself knowingly. It's to stop you from doing those unknowing things that will wreak destruction on self. Your ego is a steward and potential master of all material plane fears. Material plane. Hold that one. It's important and necessary as a component of your identity, as you perceive it to be. But your ego was never meant to provide you with your primary sense of self. And so you've turned over your infinite destiny into the control of a mechanical, physically oriented destroyer of spiritual reality and growth. In a healthy state, the ego is a secondary component of identity. And yet when it becomes the first, you're doomed until you reach out and regain control of it. In a healthy state, the being behind all being, the self behind every self, the great spirit behind all creation, is experienced as your primary sense of self. Your ego does not have to be repressed or transcended for this to happen. It doesn't have to perish. It simply must assume an appropriate relationship with the spirit that in truth you are. You are the spirit that wants to incarnate and take up residence within your body, mind, heart system. Not as a walk-in, but rather as an invited, wanted guest in wisdom, balance, and harmony. So you're faced with an ego reflection. Because your ego is by nature simply a reflection. And therefore it can either be a good, sharp, clear reflection, or it can be an independent, controlling reflection. Yet logic shows you there is no such thing as an independent reflection. Your ego may create such an illusion and somehow fool you. But if you believe in it, you will be troubled and unfulfilled and continually work diligently toward your very own destruction. For you are not receiving back a pure image. When your ego stops trying to do everything all by itself, and you bring it back within control and invite eternal spirit into your consciousness in truth of understanding, your historical illusion evaporates like mist. Like mist on a bright and sunshine morning. It can't exist. A polarity reversal takes place in the charge of your human envelope. The field of consciousness around you changes. Instead of your ego dominating your sense of identity and blocking your awareness of the Great Spirit, an eternal sense of self awakens within yourself. You know self, your own self, as the projection of the Creator of all those stars and wondrous things in the sky and elsewhere. You can know yourself as one of a family of God beings sharing God's being. You remember, everything is seen differently, clearly, and again in proper knowing. Your ego becomes your working partner and servant, and you commence the conscious creation of a new human reality. What we bring to you is an angelic awareness that historically has not often been incarnate in human form. Therefore, we bring an eternal continuity of consciousness so that henceforth you might know yourselves as we know ourselves. Together, in loving cooperation, we join to provide spirit and matter with optimal balance. We're not here to dominate your ego. We're here to secure its agreement so that between us, we might work together. And then ultimately, as a perception of time and proper sequence of this transition pass on, merge into a single biological, spiritual, and psychological entity. That entity that shall in no way deny the needs and concerns of either ego or spirit, but that shall in every way honor and fulfill the fundamental design and purpose of both. But it needs understanding. And you see, we understand love. We understand how it seeks to become objectified in a material universe. Your human egos understand the mechanics of the physical plane. That's all. The mechanics. But together we will form a single creative dyad, an entry point into which the Eternal One's universal creativity will pour and from there flow out to thoroughly transform all these realms of matter. So we'll come now to help you make the shift from unconscious creature worlds of biology into conscious co-creative biology. We're here to make this great time of change, gentle as it can possibly be. Our purpose is to blend with your race, to bring you into harmony with the Creator and with the Earth, to create a world that works for everyone, a world that allows for the optimal development of all creative potential, not just one or two, all. Lots of human beings are already consciously blending with us. It's wherever human hearts are willing to honor the spirits of love. Right there, we're present. Right there. We are allowed incarnation. We complete the human creation as coming to knowing. Knowing. Back during the age when fear was enthroned as the god at the source of human motivation, our incarnations were only rare. They hardly ever occurred. And by this statement, I don't want you to misinterpret my intent. If you interpret my intent of meaning an absolute definition, it's going to be erroneous. For most of us, which are your symbiotic counterparts, the missing pieces that are needed to make you fully human, higher universal man, took off of the gentler non-physical realms of higher vibration, actually fluttering away as little birds might fly when they're startled, when they are frightened by the thrashing about of some loud and ignorant creature, and only now can return to approach you again under more favorable conditions. This still happens, as ones of the atmospheriums, for instance, are encountered under the sea in places such as off the Philippines. You frighten them away. In your own fear, you frighten them away, and they have to wait again until you're settled and a little more knowledgeable and a little more accepting under more favorable conditions. So I can only present that which benefits our brotherhood as one who has walked upon your plains and knows wherein I speak, for God would not leave you devoid of that to which you can relate. You who are controlled by the options and opinions of another are most sorely in error. You cannot find self outside of self. You will only find other, and it will be of little value to you. That holds true for now, and it will be of no value at all to you later, as you meet responsibility for the experience of journey in action. Seth will confront that. As we focus now on places of the lion and the eagle, we have to remember that the firebird has given that which would be needed. This one bears labels of all nations and all people, but all represent the one outside of all things, holding all things and being all things. The Great Spirit is the single being whose unfoldment has become this universe, the source of all life, and you ones have long ago forgotten the meaning herein. I like the interchangeable titles as given, especially by the native populations awaiting return of that Great Spirit. The many. I like the softer ones. Mother God, Father God, Wakantanka, Eternal One, Mother of Old Ones, Great One, Holy Spirit, Grandmother of all, Above One, Eternal Being, Spirit of Truth, Thunderbird, Source of Life, and Firebird, which is representative of the phoenix rising again from the fire and destruction to build again. This particular label, Firebird, is pleasing to my own recognition, for it represents truth of direction. From the sky, sky people, bird tribes, winged silver clouds of the sky dwellers, all reminding all of the attachment to the eternal and infinite all of universe. It's a time, precious ones, of purification. It's a time now for the receiving of the great white roots of peace. This representation, if you will, of the principles that can produce peace and unity. The uncovering of the what went wrong and the laying of the foundation of peace. This is in readiness for the return of the winged brethren to integrate and share in the unfolding of this truth and right livelihood in this ongoing movement. The spiraling, ongoing isness. This is a period which the earth is in which the earth is purified. Fear and love can be separated in human consciousness. Let's look back to what the Mayan tradition projected. It represents the time from your counting of some 1987 to counting of 2011, according to the books. Is this valid prophecy? Does it matter? What difference does it make? Whatever it is, it's the time of separate counting as the calendar of counting ended, as it was in 1987. So what does that mean? It means you're in the new time of counting. You're five. How many years might there be? Why would you ask? Pick up your fingers and do a little calculating on your own, children. What are we talking about in distinction of change? What is the great distinction? What is that term, great distinction? It's living membrane. Living membrane that defines the boundaries of the universe. It divides existing structure from future structure. It separates the tonal and the nocturnal, which is a spiritual sea of infinity that surrounds the universe, like the sea itself surrounds a fish. Contains the patterns of all possible new creations. The realm of potential and infinite energy, the non-dimensional presence of God, that which has no name. And so you now approach the great line. And what is the great line? L-I-N-E. Well, you're approaching the great line, which is living, spiraling threads that weave the membrane of the great distinction. All integrated, precious ones. All a portion of all. But marking the little crossings, the little interruptions, the little notations of this infinite circle. There's a native tongue word I'd like to relate herein. The word itself is not used by too many, and it's pronounced in many different ways, but it's carried in derivation by all the people. You see, those first humans, those first ones labeled people by great source, true to reality, those real people. I would pronounce it for the widest reception as Ongwihongwi. The people true to reality. Those real people. It's a term primarily used by native tribes and technically pertaining to and used to refer to all people whose spirit is fully incarnate and in whom spirit-ego integration has occurred. The real people, the original beings, the original creators of life, the Ongwihongwi. Do you relate to those? I am those. Many of you are already among those ones. Do you even begin to realize who you are? It's time to open your eyes. It's time to come into beingness with who you are and with responsibility for why you are. I won't define locations as geographical boundings, if you will, for people come from one source to scatter throughout the dwelling places as the changes come upon a life form. For one thing, I wouldn't damage my own and my own resources and my own direction by doing such a thing. I'll only say that as we move along, you'll find that some of the locations and native people remain in guardianship of the Holies. And quite frankly, the treasures preserved against this need, this day, for transition of a remnant and a planet and a people. And always through the eons of time, oh yes, history has known about these treasures and holies. So what about them? There's been a great reason for their remaining untouched and one's not knowing about them. Hasn't even been presented. And when presented, is very often in the most unlikely form, so that ones who are the guardians can know, and only they know, when the time is correct in the bringing within the receivers and workers sent to fulfill transition in properness. So that recognition can be formed between the guardian and receiver for the use thereof. Ah, yes, indeed. Man desires the wealth for self and ego greed, and therefore great, great care is taken. Won't fall into the hands of greedy man. It will not be allowed. Nor shall it ever be allowed as regards the places of God and unfolding of the remnant in passage. Abundance is that which shall come back for service in pure intent of goal, and in reward for trust of the keeping thereof. So you ask about it. Well, what about it? Question yourself, what about it? If you're searching for wealth, I can promise you shall not be given into either the finding or the receiving. If you do your work in service as directed, it shall come in fullness as it is discerned appropriate by higher source. Much must be made ready. Mostly the workers, so that unveiling is in light and never brought forth birth in evil intent. We can speak of individuals who have sought unsuccessfully to uncover this vast web. However, it's so well guarded that accidental discovery is impossible, precious ones. All the searching in the world will not uncover it for you. And I believe that the reason for this would be quite obvious to you. Were this wealth to fall into the wrong hands, it would literally destroy mankind. And further, before this vast, vast wealth can even be entrusted to the proper custodian, that custodian must be most carefully and thoroughly groomed and tested. Must be prepared through a series of lifetimes for service at the door. Most critical is that the one who attends comes into awareness of the divine plan unfolding and recognizes his or her counterpart in service. You cannot do it with your eyes shut. You have to recognize us when we come. You cannot just have of the earthly manifestation. For it is not meant to be, ever. Ever, ever. It's only through recognition that he can properly cooperate with entities beyond Earth and coordinate the use of this treasure for the proper benefit of mankind and necessary passage of this remnant, this rebuilding in integrity and life-sustaining passage. We must begin with the reclamation of portions of God's own land, and then all else can be built upon and within that land, that space, this entity called land, Earth, Terra. And then there must be centers of activity, but these centers must not be noted ever as centers. They must not have focus. No focus must fall upon the projects, or destruction will be brought against them. So there must be a massive building in different places. But the foundation can be laid. Oh, I see. You want to know about dollars and cents. So we always get back to money, don't we? Give me the money and I can build your project. Consider, precious ones, how to build the project. And when you have arrived at the desire and the goal for the project, you will find the wherewithal will be made available. Earth works backwards. You don't get first, you give first. You set those goals first. And if they be in good intent, they shall be fulfilled. If they be in greedy intent, undoubtedly there shall be regular failure. No measure of the whole can be placed on such a commodity and put into dollars and cents, because you cannot identify the treasure. And the treasure, the real treasure as such, consists of that which is totally beyond the definition of wealth, as in the form of precious stones and metals or any currency or any valuable physical asset. For the real treasures are the concepts, inventions, technologies, knowledge, as are preserved and made ready for use through such passage as shall be made. But this is in addition to a vast tangible resource, and it will be represented in some of these physical manners, such as precious metals and minerals, and artifacts of the past. In a physical world, you have to have physical manifestation to begin the journey into the photon experience. There has to be a training and a learning process to smoothly flow in this cycle and into the next and the next. And of course, as I said, the most valuable asset of the treasure is without price. It can't be purchased with all the material wealth of all the world. It can't be purchased. And that's the asset to which I refer as the secret of overcoming death itself and the ability to transmute oneself into the cosmic consciousness within the light, becoming light. But to reach that transition point, these things of the physical must be utilized, or the bodies will not be ready and will perish, and you will have not made completion. And these are the things not taught to you, not shared with you. You are bounded without the answer, do you see? You are given visions or fantasies and no abilities through your orthodox indoctrinated religions or any other scientific measure Are you given the capability and the instructions to literally make that transition? It all stops with an open-ended question mark. Where will you go from the clouds? A rapture. How will you experience? Where will you experience? And you would be told that no one knows. That is not true. We know. And inwardly, at the depths of your being, you know. But you have to be reminded. And therefore, they cannot allow you to have this information, or they have lost control over you. So you had better be making up your mind. So what will happen with this wondrous information, these wondrous treasures, if you will? It'll be placed into the working hands of ones who have Brahm. Or you might better put it out, Brahm. This need for ego recognition. And into the hands of the ones who will serve only the purpose of greater evolvement for the greatest numbers of God's creation. Oh, yes, there are responsible ones. They've been sent back to serve. That is their purpose. And you'll find them scattered. Don't think you're going to find them all in a lump where you can have the evil counterpart come and get rid of one or two, and that gets rid of the whole. Don't be foolish. Not even your CIA would work in that much foolishness. And the very secret of success lies in the learning of the lessons of management, so that they can be good stewards, and whereby the work can be done without notes and behind the guise of smallness, not bigness, littleness. There'll be multiple functioning so that all needs are covered, and so that the earth itself is preserved and used in harmony, and a network between my centers, if you will, can be stabilized and integrated. And all of this can most certainly be accomplished. And it will be accomplished. But it certainly will be a lot easier if ones of you will attend truth and turn from this horrendous lie and the liars who put it forth for you. It can and it will be done within the workings of that which is already working, already in progress, good or bad. It's what you are and what you have and what is. And in that context must it be brought into fruition. Because, dear ones, you don't have anything else. There is nothing else upon which to work. You only have that which is and nothing more. I believe that we are close enough to the end of this side of the tape that if you'll pass forward it, we'll just turn it over.